Good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And I just want to say a special happy birthday to my sister because it is her birthday today. And our guest this evening is Janet Amare. Is that correct? Did I pronounce
it? Yes, Lori. Hi. Thank you for inviting me.
Welcome, Janet. So I'm looking forward to this evening because I have seen your name for years, and until, you know, reading your little information that you sent me, I hadn't really, you know, connected with you.
Right.
So I'm very excited about this evening because you sound like you have a lot to offer. And so it's kind of an honor to be able to allow your voice to come out this evening.
Well, thank you, Lori. It's an honor to be here as well. And I'm happy to connect with you and your radio station.
Good. Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about your journey and how you've come here. I think you have a fabulous story. So I do want us to go into your interesting story with Sai Baba. But just how did you start on this path that you're on?
Well, it's a story that kind of captures a lot of aspects of my life, Lori. Because as a child, when I was 5 years old, one of the first stories that my mother used to tell me was that I came up to her one day and I attempted to tell her what heaven was like. And she said the little hairs on the back of her neck stood up, and she kind of said, no, I don't want to hear it. She was a little bit frightened. And I went through a series of experiences like that where I wanted to tell people about the colors in their aura or seeing atoms in the air, and I kind of got shut down. And so I decided it's not such a good idea to talk about those things, and I kind of internalized it. But then when I was about 15, I was reading a book by Edgar Cayce. If you've ever read any of his material, he's known as the sleeping prophet and made lots of great diagnoses for people and helped them with their healing. And as I was reading the book, it was talking about the new millennium and talking about earth changes. I was about 15 years old, and I remember literally feeling as if I was pulled up to my feet. I was sitting out in the back garden in a chair. I felt lifted up to my feet, and I heard this voice in my head, and it said, "This is what you're here for." I didn't really know what it meant, but I just had this feeling in my heart that it was true. Mm. And I then went on a journey to discover, what does that mean? I'm here for what? And so in my late teens, I began researching energy medicine and hands-on healing. I joined the National Federation of Spiritual Healers, and I started to practice being a natural healer. I thought maybe that's what this meant. What I was told was that I had a really good ability to tune into energy in people's bodies and to shift energy and help people to heal. But I also discovered that I had a natural ability to open people. People would just kind of come in my presence and start telling me stories or crying or kind of opening up. So I did a lot of reading, and I made it my goal to travel around the world and find the world's best healers and to learn from them. And in my early 20s, I went to get some help and did my own past life regression on my own family. And the changes that happened for me through doing past life regression were so impressive to me that I decided to specialize in regression. So I learned how to do that. And then I kind of combined the two. I combined energy medicine and regression and my natural channeling ability and kind of came up with my own process to help people. And one of the things that I found very early on in doing that, Lori, was that people would open up more and they would heal faster if I could build trust with them. Mm. And they would open up and heal faster if they had faith in themselves and faith in the process. And so I started to build my own faith as a way to help other people, because I found that I kind of had to reach up higher in my own faith in order to kind of pull people up with me.
So kind of that lead by example, walk the talk.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to be there in order to speak in a compelling way and to inspire people to go there themselves. Because I find that even the people that have been doing their own work, raising their consciousness, doing healing for 15 years, 20 years, it's easy to lose faith if you want something and you ask for it and it doesn't happen. And I find for myself, I have to continually renew that faith. So one of the things that I did very early on was I decided to explore psychic surgery, because I thought, if if there are people on the planet that can help other people heal instantly, I want to go and be with them and meet them. So I went to work with Barbara Brennan in Boston, learned from her. Rosalind Breyer in California, I consider her one of the greatest energy healers in the world. And then I went to visit John of God in Brazil. And what I discovered, Lori, was that even the greatest healers on the planet, those instant people that can have somebody out of the wheelchair in a second, they're still dealing with the fact that all of us are limited by our capacity to change and grow. Mm. So even with them, they'll tell people, you have to come back 20 times. Mm. And so I realized it, that it's not about being the world's greatest healer. It's about being able to help people open as much as they can and give them the compassion for themselves, that sometimes the change might be just 5%. Sometimes it might be 1%. And that when you do get that 100% change, it's usually the culmination of many different 5% changes. Mm-hmm. But even that is part of people having faith. So I've built my faith by, you know, going to the places where I thought that healing was happening. And the paradoxical thing about it was I came back having more faith in myself. Because I've had those experiences where people shift and heal something in 20 minutes. And I've also had the experiences where it takes them years.
Yeah.
Right. So I've let go of needing it to be instant and accepted, you know, people's natural timing in that.
That's powerful.
Yeah, thank you. So one of the stories that I wanted to tell about building faith is just how my faith has changed over the years. And I noticed this, Lori, in the difference I found in myself in different visits that I've had to India. I went to India about 15 years ago, and my goal at that time was to be with Sai Baba. So I wanted again to be with the world's greatest healers. And I'd heard that he was an avatar, you know, God on earth. I'd heard stories about him being 15 and manifesting any fruit that he wanted to out of a tree. So his friends would say, give me a banana, and he'd pull a banana out, and give me a tangerine, he'd pull out a tangerine. So I thought, I'll go and visit with this man and see what's happening. And it was a test of my faith because I noticed that when I went there, that I was very challenged by India itself. Mm. India is a place of a lot of paradox and conflict. In one moment in India, you can see a beautiful temple right beside somebody starving. Mm-hmm. And one of my first experiences in stepping off the plane and walking into the parking lot was this woman came up to us carrying a 10-year-old boy, and his eyes were rolling back in his head and he was dying. And I remember in that moment thinking, you know, you'd never see something like this in Canada. And that in India, everything is much more immediate. So when I went to the ashram, I was already a little bit off balance, already thinking, you know, why have I brought myself here? I was living in a shell of a condominium, as they have room for about 18,000 people in the ashram. But the condominiums where you stay are just a cement shell. So you have to bring everything with you, you know, your bed, your towels, everything that you need. And you have to wear the clothes that are traditional in India. And so I was having a challenging time. I'm wearing these different clothes, eating different food, you know, sleeping in an uncomfortable situation. I get up at 4 a.m. and what I awoke to was people sweeping the ground in front of where Sai Baba would walk. And in that moment, I kind of split in two. There's a part of me that was impressed by that, thinking these people really are spiritual. Isn't this wonderful that they're doing this for this man? And then another part of me was kind of saying, who is this guy that expects people to sweep the ground in front of his feet? So there was this conflict inside of me. And then we went into the mandir, his temple, and you pray and chant the Om for him as a way of building his energy and protecting him. By this time, it's about 6:30 in the morning. You're pretty tired and hungry. We walk around to the other side and we wait in line to go and have an audience with him. So we're waiting for another hour. You go through a metal detector. You end up on the tarmac. So by this time, you've been up for 3 or 4 hours. You can't take any water with you, so you're thirsty and hungry. And so I can remember sitting on the tarmac in my Punjabi outfit, and there's people all around me. knee to knee, back to back. And there was this little girl that kept climbing over me. She'd climb over the top of my head and over my shoulders and back. And I was sitting there thinking, why am I here? Who is this guy in an orange dress that I'm going to see? You know, why am I spent...
With an afro.
With an afro. Yeah. Why have I spent 4 hours waiting in the sand, hot and tired, and I just want to strangle the little girl? So I sit there comfortably, and I'm noticing my... I call it a snark down, you know, when you kind of... You're upset, but you're also observing yourself, and you're noticing you're upset. And so
and
I'm thinking...
You call that what?
A snork down.
A snork down.
Yeah, it means you know it's your own responsibility, but you're still upset. We call that a snork down. I know this is my stuff, but I'm still going to get upset. So anyway, I'm sitting there. I'm hot. I'm tired. I'm thirsty. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I felt this pulling in my chest. And I actually looked down thinking I was going to find this huge insect or something on me. And my chest continued to open. It just felt like somebody took both their hands and just ripped open my heart center. And I felt the pain of it, but also the release. And in that moment, everyone's head turned, everyone went silent, and Sai Baba had just left his temple, that they call a mandir. And I realized in that moment, this is why I'm here. This man has tremendous power. From 600 yards away, he opened my heart, even when I was in the middle of my snark down. And so I just let go. I softened. I wanted to hug the little girl. I wanted to hug everybody around me. I just completely let go of all of my upset and all of my concerns about why I was there and all of my conflict. It only lasted about half an hour.
Okay.
By the time I left that audience, I was... Part of me was back in, you know, asking, why am I here? This is difficult. And that particular day, I had to go and renew our stay in our condo. I was going to the administrative office. And so I went back onto the sand. After you come out from visiting him, you go back and get your shoes because you have to be shoeless to go and see him. And I had taken some turquoise and pink shoes so that I could find them amongst the other 80,000 shoes. And as I put on my shoes, I noticed that they felt uncomfortable. I looked down and the inserts were gone. So now I was even more snorked down. Not only am I wearing this stupid silk outfit, something over my head and my shoulders, and visiting this guy in an orange dress with an afro, but now I'm uncomfortable in my feet. I got to go stand in line for the condo. So I'm upset again. And as I was doing that again, the inner voice is kind of saying, you know, you're here to build your faith. This man is an avatar. Stay open. And so I got to the front of the lineup, and I was just about to go inside and sign a new contract. And I heard this voice, and I actually turned to my right to look and see, as it sounded like there was somebody right beside me. I heard a little bit of laughter, and then I realized it was Sai Baba, and he said, look down, and you'll know why you're here. You'll know how we're going to rebuild your faith. And I looked down, and right at the doorway where I was walking, which was literally a half an hour away from where I had left my shoes, there were my inserts beside each other. And I heard him just laughing, and I said to myself, it's true. This man is all-knowing, all-powerful. He is an avatar, and he's God, and he's teaching me a lesson. And so by that time, I had completely softened, and for the whole rest of the trip, I believed. You know, that's all that it took, was that one experience.
But kind of symbolic of, you know, the inserts, the inner part of us that...
Touching your soul.
Yeah. Touching your
the
soul.
The part that touches your soul. Exactly.
Like very symbolic of what you're there for.
Exactly. I called my business Soul Purpose. And I always think of that story when I think of my business, because... That, you know, he got me right where I'm the most sensitive, which is my feet. I don't like being barefoot. And he taught me a lesson that even in those moments when you doubt, God is there. No matter how upset you are, God is there. And there was at least a part of me that had the door open, right, and let it in. The good news is I let go in that moment. Now, 15 years later, just this January, I went back to India. This time to go to the Oneness University. And the avatars there are known as Amma and Bhagwan. And I read the book Awakening into Oneness. And after the first 10 pages, I dropped everything and signed up for the process. Mm-hmm. Because I felt inspired that this is one of the things happening on the planet to really help people raise consciousness. And that's what I'm passionate about, Lori, is helping people to understand that they have a soul, that their soul has a purpose, that they can use their soul to get answers, to guide them, to find out why they're here, to use their natural healing ability. And I wanted to go to the one place on the planet where I really felt as if something was happening to make a difference, to bring us into the golden age. So there's been predictions for a long time that in 2012, there'd be a shift in consciousness. Mm-hmm. We'd move to a place of peace. And in my seminars, I teach a seminar called Spiritual Connection, and in my other channeling seminars, I always say to people, I believe the golden age is coming. I can feel it. I can feel the vibrational shifts happening. Most people have been able to feel it since the 80s. But people would say to me, how do you know it's happening? And how is it being orchestrated? And I didn't know until I went to India this time. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed was different in me was I had that faith instantly. I didn't have to be convinced like I did 15 years ago when I went to see Sai Baba. I just dropped everything, booked my flight, went to India. And what's happening there, I'm really excited about because it really ties in with the work that I do, is that it's the first time on planet Earth that one human being has been able to transfer to another human being the ability to raise consciousness and change the brain. In the past, it only happened through avatars like Christ or Buddha.
Right.
With the oneness process, any individual can gain the capacity to do a touch blessing, and that touch blessing raises consciousness. And what I'm excited about, Lori, is that they've built a temple there. I actually saw the temple when I was there. And their goal is to have 8,000 beings that are fully conscious, God realized, at one with God, meditating in the temple and radiating the frequency of the blessing so that all the blessing givers have more and more frequency coming through them all the time and spread that ability to raise consciousness across the planet.
That would be pretty powerful.
I'm excited. And the temple's opening April 22nd of this year.
And you went down before it opened.
I went down before it opened. I saw the temple. It's almost finished. And the temple is amazing. You'll appreciate this because you do work in homes, and I do as well. So when I go to homes and clear them, I have the ability to sense vortices and energy spots. In the temple, it's built on two major ley lines on the Earth's grid. So a ley line is like the meridians on the human body. The Earth also has meridians. It's built on two major ley lines so that once they start radiating the frequency, it'll spread out across the globe very quickly. In the corners of the temple are four spiral staircases, and as you go up them, it balances your chakras.
Oh, cool.
And inside the temple, there are so many spots where you just feel like you're being lifted up. The energy is really high. So what I'm excited about, again, coming back to the idea of faith and helping people build their hope, is that I feel inspired as a healer. I feel like I've been kind of doing this on my own, you know, for 24 years.
Don't we all? Yeah.
And I'm sure you feel that way as well. It's like you kind of, you have to start from zero. So when I'm with a client, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one in the room that has any faith that they can change. The only one in the room that has any faith that there's a God and that God's helping us. With what I see happening at the Oneness University, and what I see happening with other oneness blessers is there's now, it's as if God is more personal. You know, those two avatars make themselves more available to people, and they're teaching people. And through the blessing, they're channeling that building of faith out. So I feel like there's help. I feel like there's some conscious effort. And the interesting thing about it is when I think about it, Lori, I believe that it's people like you and I and all the other people out there that have been raising consciousness for years that have really brought this to Earth. It's like we've created the Oneness University because this is the planet of free will. You know, God can't interfere unless we give God permission. So I think it's our asking for world peace and our asking for healing and our believing in it that's brought this, that's made this available. So, you know, to me, that really is the definition of oneness. It's like we've been asking for it and now it's coming to us. And when I went to India, one of the things that happened for me was that I had an experience. I celebrated my 50th birthday mm-hmm. while I was there.
And it's a great way to celebrate your birthday.
It was a great way to celebrate my birthday. It was an interesting day because we were in silence for 3 weeks. So I was completely silent on my birthday. Couldn't even tell anybody it's my birthday or celebrate. No one knew but me. And I'm a real believer in staying open myself to whatever I need to do. So one of the experiences that happened for me that actually caused me to go to India was that I had a lot of challenge last year. A friend of mine had died about 6 years ago, and she was killed violently. And I was involved in the trial last year to convict the person that killed her. So it brought up a lot of challenge for me, something that you never think that you're going to be involved in as a healer. But the beauty of it was I was able to take that experience and transform it into healing for myself and inspiration for myself. And the way that happened for me was through a series of steps, Lori. So what happened was, as a result of some of that trauma, I had some trouble sleeping. And being a natural healer myself, I went to healers and I did a lot of work to help me sleep. Lots of those things were effective and helped me. But at some points I made a decision to take medicine. I'm going to take a drug. I'm going to be open because I decided I want to stay working. I need my energy. I need my sleep. Mm-hmm. And so I felt as if it was a real challenge for me being a natural healer to take a medication. But again, I'm a firm believer you do whatever you need to do. And so one of the reasons I went to India is I wanted to understand that process. You know, why was I driven to that point of being so challenged myself physically? And what I noticed in taking the medication was a lot of things happened to me that I tell other people, here's what's going to happen when you take a medication. I had a bad taste in my mouth, I had a burning sensation in my feet, and I had some congestion in my liver. And by the time I'd gone to India, I was already weaning myself off of it, so I wasn't taking very much of it. But I was still asking that question, what is the learning here for me? And on my birthday, I had an amazing experience because in the oneness process, they were talking about birth. Mm. On my own birthday, they were talking about the birth experience. Mm. And they gave a oneness blessing. And when you receive a oneness blessing, typically you have an opening and get in touch with things on a deep level. And in that moment on that day, I all of a sudden went back and remembered my own birth process. I remembered being in the womb. And what happened was, my mother's doctor was going on vacation and he decided to induce me because he was going on vacation. So he gave her a drug to induce her. Of course, I was upset and I can remember thinking, why aren't my parents, stopping this? Why is my father doing anything? Why is my mother doing anything? But what I recalled as I went through that self-regression was that I had that same burning sensation, that awful taste in my mouth, the burning sensation in my feet. And so did my mother. And I made a decision that I had to take care of myself and I had to stand up for myself and take care of other people. On that day, amazingly, I slept without taking anything, natural or unnatural. All of the burning sensation went away. The taste in my mouth went away. My body completely cleared all of that drug and I completely cleared everything from that experience. And what I learned that is one of my favorite teachings from being in India was that often our perception of something is much worse than the pain itself. And that was true for me with the drug. My perception of me being a healer and I shouldn't be taking a drug was much more difficult on me than the drug itself. Right. The drug itself was not such a big deal. My body released it. My body has cleansed it. And so that's one of the things that I'm able to share with other people is that, you know, sometimes your perception of what is happening is much greater source of your pain than what is actually happening to you.
And isn't that always the truth?
Mm-hmm. You
know, yeah. We always perceive events in our lives and we believe that that perception is what other people, that's why other people have done it. They've done it to us.
You know, exactly.
We take these perceptions and we blow them so out of proportion and we forget to think that, you know, well, what is the other person perceiving that's occurring? And, you know, how we can take one event and 100 people can be part of that same event and everybody in that 100 group will have a different perception of what occurred.
Exactly. And then you really realize it's just you mm-hmm. and your own story. Yeah. And I share that story because I think it's important for healers. I know a lot of people who've spent a lot of time developing their healing ability and raising their consciousness. And often they'll say to me that they have a difficult time when they get sick because they feel like, you know, I should never be sick. I should never have anything wrong with me. And that's why I like to tell that story publicly to let people know, you know, we're human too. We have to go through our own experiences. And I'm a scientist by training. I started out as a marine biologist, so I have a lot of respect for science and medicine. I like to think of myself as open to whatever I need to do.
Is that why we're into dolphins?
That's one of the reasons we're into dolphins, yeah.
Okay, because that's coming up next too, I think.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, I didn't want to sidetrack because I thought, marine biology, that's exciting, and you got trained in it long before it was kind of the thing to get trained in.
Well, I decided when I was 10 years old that I wanted to be a marine biologist, and I followed that track consistently. And I went into that field. I used to work for the Ministry of the Environment and doing acid rain studies. I did field tests. And how I started the dolphin trip, so I take people to different places in the world to swim with dolphins, was I realized that my real love was for being with dolphins in their natural environment, experiencing them as healers. I didn't know this when I was 10, but after swimming with them, which my first time was in 1989, I realized that they're just like me. It was one of my first experiences of being with another being that had such sensitivity and spoke holographically. So when I'm with dolphins, they send me pictures that are full-blown experiences. And I have past life experiences with them and early childhood experiences with them. And we kind of communicate in the way that I've always communicated with people as a healer and with ghosts and people on the other side. So I felt really comfortable with dolphins, like I'd finally found someone I could communicate with, you know, totally on all levels with no barriers. And I had such dramatic results when I went to swim with dolphins the first time, I decided to take other people. Literally, Lori, the first 3 times I went to swim with dolphins, I would ask for something each time. I'm a big believer in setting an intention every time you do something. And my intention at that time was to build my career. And I was doing organization development work and human resources work and counseling and coaching. And literally on one of the trips, I came back and on my desk was a letter telling me they'd created a position for me, which was exactly what I wanted.
Wow.
And that was repeated every time I went to swim with dolphins. Whatever I asked for, it would unfold in the next year. And I really believe dolphins are avatars and they're one of the best healers on the planet. So I built a seminar around the dolphin trip. People set intentions, what they want to get from it. We go out and swim with wild dolphins, typically in Hawaii. Sometimes you're out there with 100 dolphins for 3 hours. And people have amazing healing experiences. And then we travel around the island. It's the big island of Hawaii. And usually go to the volcano and do sacred ceremony on the volcano cone. And it's really my way each year of healing myself, getting back in touch with nature. And the dolphins are just beautiful vibrational beings. And they've taught me a lot, Lori, about how I can help other people learn about their natural ability, because they kind of opened me up and made me feel comfortable with who I was. I realized that part of my purpose was to help other people understand that they're natural healers, because I believe everybody has natural healing ability. Everybody has the ability to channel and bring things from their higher self or their soul, bring them down to earth and make them available to other people. So that's one of the other things that I spend a lot of time doing, is helping people connect spiritually and trust in that. And what I find is that most people are doing it naturally. You know, if you ask anybody, they have all had the experience where the phone rings and they know who it is. Or they're just about to phone or email their friend and they get an email. Or they're thinking about something and it shows up on TV. And so I'll say to people, you know, the synchronicity is happening. You're channeling already. You're tuning in. All you need to do is understand the signals a little bit more and expand your repertoire of how you understand that that information is coming to you. And you'd be a channel. You'd see yourself as a psychic or a channel. As I believe the only difference between me and other people is I believe it's coming to me and I trust it enough to let it land and to use it. I believe everybody else it's coming to them, but sometimes they don't. I call it letting the sucker land. I'll say to people, you know, things are coming to you all the time, but typically what, you know, people get an impression of something, they get an idea, you know, read this book or call this person. But they stop and they question it. Their ego gets in the way. Their thoughts get in the way. Their personality. And they push it away. So I always say to people, let it land. Let the sucker land by writing it down. Whatever comes to you, trust it. If you have a dream, write it down. If you have an inspiration, write it down. And use it. And in that way, you build trust. You start to see how information comes to you. One of the things I find, Laurie, is that people don't realize that we're all different in that way. Right. So for some people, it comes through their body. They get body sensations or experiences. For some people, it comes through writing. For some people, their art. For some people, they just talk it. You know, it just comes through their voice. For other people, they'll have an experience of a past life, or they'll get an impression of something. So most people don't know all of the many ways that that information can come to them. So they're not looking for it and they don't trust it. So that's one of the things that I do in my seminars and workshops, is helping people understand how it comes to them. So there's four levels of being, classically, the physical level, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual. I find that most people have one of those levels that information comes to them the most. So some people, it comes to them emotionally, primarily. And then we have a second level that's their secondary, most comfortable way. So what I do when I work with people is I give them feedback. I say, look, it's coming to you emotionally, and I'll know that by how they talk to me, the words that they use. And I'll help them to understand that and to value that and use that. And then I'll help them build the other levels, the levels that they're not as strong on. And I find invariably anybody can channel. Mm. Anybody can be telepathic. Anybody can gather inspiration. They just have to be guided and, again, help them build their faith to do that.
Wow. That's interesting, because traditionally I've always thought of intuition is, you know, clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, the feeling, or the knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit different than what you're saying, although it must somehow fit together.
It does fit together. What you're speaking about are the classic ways mm-hmm. that we think that the information comes. But what I find is that people understand it better if I describe it on the four levels. So I'll say to them, physically, it can come to your body. So for example, a person can walk into this room and they can feel a sensation in their head or something in the back of their neck. And they might just think, oh, that's interesting. I have a pain in my neck, or I have tingling on the top of my head. But if they were trained, if I was working with them and they told me that, I'd say, the top of your head is your crown chakra. There's some information trying to come to you from this room. You're more physically oriented. Your physical body is going to be your signal that you're getting information. Or someone else might say, I walk into the room and I feel sad. And you hear people complain all the time, oh, I'm picking up other people's feelings. They're not valuing it. They're not saying, oh, great, I'm sensing feelings. They're saying, oh, I'm picking up feelings. So again, you teach them how to value that emotional way that they're receiving information. And then they'll start noticing that more and saying, okay, what is that that's coming to me? What is that emotion? Where did that come from? How can I use that? How could I write from that, create from that? What is the inspiration for me from that? For other people, it comes mentally through their thoughts. They'll get words, or they'll see writing or a television show. That's more of a mental psychic. So I find if I translate those different kinds of psychic ability into the four levels, people start to see, yeah, that is happening for me. And they start to be able to build those skills and use them more consciously.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Wow. Now, I did interrupt you when you were starting to talk about how you had a faith in science, because that was your traditional background. And I'm not quite sure if you talked about everything you wanted to say there.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to send the message out that it's important that we value every way of healing possible. Mm-hmm. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, we need the allopathic system and the medical system and emergency care. And as I said earlier, if I needed to take a drug, I would, if it was the only way for me to get my body rest or to create something that I needed. I certainly would always look for the natural route first, and I would always seek to find a natural way to do that, because I think that's more
in alignment
with who I am and more alignment with taking care of my body. But I'm a believer that we should stay open. And how being a scientist has affected me is that I'm able to integrate the two. I'm able to talk technology and talk science with people. When I teach energy medicine, I teach people anatomy. I teach them to honor the scientific aspect of the body and to study that and appreciate that and understand that. And what I've learned is that when you marry the two, when you marry the scientific understanding with the channeling and the psychic ability and the intuitive ability, it expands your ability to relate to people, expands your ability to attract clients of all different kinds, because everybody needs help. And so what I found in my business is that I attract a lot of people who are more traditional or who are scientific themselves or who are a little wary of the natural way. You know, they've been used to relying on medicine. And what I love about that is being able to give them an experience of natural healing or energy medicine or regression and show them how that can affect them. And that brings me to another thing I want to talk about, that's a love of mine, is regression. Mm. and doing past life work and early childhood work. I had a number of experiences early in my life where it was of great value to me. And one of the things that I've been able to develop from that, Lori, is the awareness that many people, when they use regression, just kind of take people back to touch an early childhood moment or a past life. And what I've learned is that in some cases, that can actually traumatize a person more because they're kind of stuck in that past moment and they haven't cleared anything. And through doing regression for a lot of years, what I've come to realize is it's really important to clear all the different levels of an experience, the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual levels. And if you clear all of that emotional charge and energy out, then a person can come to a place of peace with their past experiences. So how does this relate to healing? I believe that every disease, every illness, every imbalance is related to emotional charge that's stored in the body, creating congestion. And as I'm sure you can relate to, most people are trained not to feel their feelings, right? To kind of pop out of them, ignore them, devalue them. We're not trained to talk about emotions in a corporate setting, even most of the time with our families. So if I were to say anything to people, it would be feel your feelings fully. You know, let yourself feel the emotional charge of every event when it's happening. And people are confused about that because they think that means, oh, if I'm angry, I have to express my anger. Well, no, what it means is to feel it and release it. You don't have to express it and be angry with somebody to release it. So one of the things I train people to do is to use vibration to clear emotional charge. So for example, let's say you told me you were feeling angry about something. I'd say, where is that anger in your body? I'd help you identify where that was. I'd help you feel it, get in touch with what was underneath that. And then you might use a vibration to clear it. Vibration meaning take a color into it, a symbol, a sound, an experience. And through doing that, you can clear the emotional charge, and anything that's fully felt will naturally come to a place of peace. Now, it sounds really simple, but most people are not fully feeling their feelings. And I find often practitioners aren't guiding people to fully feel their feelings. So that's one of the things I've learned in doing regression is, first of all, to clear all four levels, to fully feel feelings, and to teach people about the value of understanding the four levels. So let's say we're looking at, you know, why are you upset in your relationship? What's happening in your relationship that's causing you to have conflict with your partner? For most people, they talk on the level of the problem. So let's say you've just moved in with your partner and the problem looks like they leave their toothpaste out on the counter and you're upset about that, right? How many arguments have been about the toothpaste, right? But you know what it's like. Usually those arguments end up being you didn't wash the dishes, you didn't unload the laundry, you know. We usually talk about those simple things. But what I train people to do is to stop in those moments and feel their bodies and feel their feelings and ask themselves, what is really going on? You know, what's the feeling underneath that toothpaste on the counter, the cup, you know, that's left out, or the dishes that are unwashed? And when they do that, there's usually a breakthrough in the sense that they then are able to get in touch with the feeling and release it. And then they can say to their partner, you know what? I'm not really upset about the toothpaste. What I'm upset about is I feel like you're going to take my power away because we're living together now. Then you can have a conversation about fear of your power as opposed to, are you going to put the toothpaste away? Right? Yeah. And then you can really get somewhere in the relationship. Yeah. So I combine the regression work with couples work and family work and, you know, help people get in touch with those kinds of real experiences that are underneath the conversations and the conflicts that they're having. And in that way, help them to have a breakthrough and help them to learn how to talk to each other on a more intimate level.
Right. That's very interesting work.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about tonight, Lori, is just the changes that I see happening on the planet.
Perfect.
And how I think that we're in such an exciting time right now. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I noticed that there's more and more people around that are open to natural healing, more and more people open to believing they have a soul or a higher self, you know, talking about past lives. How this is showing up for me is more and more people are bringing their children to me and telling me that they believe their children are having psychic experiences or talking to ghosts or feeling energy.
And they are pretty unique these days, some of them.
Yes. Yeah, really amazing little beings. So I believe that one of the things that's happening is our abilities are speeding up. I'm noticing that most people have a heightened intuition, heightened ability to channel. The good news about that for me is it also means people are healing faster and going deeper. One of the things I've been able to do with people that never happened before is take them back to what I call first cause. So when I'm speaking about doing regression work, for most of the years that I've done regression, I would take people into childhood moments or into past lives. Now I find that people are spontaneously going back to the first moments when God brought beings to the planet Earth. That's what I call first cause. And they actually experience the female aspect of God and the male aspect of God, experience themselves as little spirit sprites, you know, coming from the Godhead. And they have major healing around very fundamental issues. For example, in the past, let's say I was working with somebody who felt abandoned. We might go back into their childhood. They might remember a moment when they came home from school at lunch and the door was locked and they couldn't get in their house and felt abandoned. they might go back to a past life and remember a partner dying. Now I find people are spontaneously going right back to first cause and having a remembrance of feeling as if God abandoned them. Mm-hmm. So going right back to the first original cause of our feelings of separation. That's exciting for me because it means that people are transforming faster. If they can go back to that first cause, they're healing more deeply and more completely. The other thing I'm noticing with the changes that are happening in the vibrations is that I can take people to their Akashic record. Akashic record is the etheric place where all of our lifetimes are stored, all the information about us and our purpose and our childhood. I can take them there and they can review their karmic record, any karma that they have from past lives. And how it shows up is it's a particular page in the Akashic record. And on the Akashic record, there'll be vibrations. Like a vibration might be abandonment, might be separation, might be a feeling of lack of faith. And within each of those vibrations, there might be a number of lifetimes that they can visit. And I've been experiencing this for the last few years, that I can take people back to their karma and clear that karma. And again, that means huge transformation in a very short period of time. For most people, that wasn't available before. So I'm really excited about being able to do that. And so one of the things I'd like to do tonight is offer people a meditation to take them to their Akashic record and help them to see what's there and perhaps do some clearing for them and learn what's available for them to clear.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Would you like to do that now?
I think that would be great.
Okay, great. So if you want to participate as well,
Absolutely.
Lori, I'll guide you along. So this is a meditation to take you to your Akashic record. And one of the things that I want to say in terms of giving you the most benefit from this is that as I'm guiding you through the meditation, I want you to notice what's happening on all levels. So notice what's happening in your body. In other words, you might get information from your Akashic record that shows up as a feeling, a physical sensation in your body. Could be a change in temperature, could be energy moving somewhere in your shoulders or arms or legs. Typical places where you might experience energy would be back of the neck or in your spine, for a lot of people in their abdomen. So notice things on the physical level in the meditation. Notice also your emotions. You might feel afraid, you might feel a sense of excitement. You might even feel a sense of, can I do this? You know, Janet's guiding the meditation, but will I be able to do this? I want you to notice all of those things as if it's part of the meditation.
Can we also set an intention?
Absolutely. That's a great idea. We'll do that before we begin. So I want you to notice things physically, notice things emotionally, notice mentally your thoughts. And again, a lot of people ignore their thoughts because they think, oh, it's just me thinking. So let's say you have a thought which is, I can't do this. Most people would say, oh, that's just me thinking that I can't do this. But maybe that's actually part of your Akashic record. Mm-hmm. Maybe what's in your Akashic record is this thought you've laid down in this lifetime that you won't be able to connect with God. So I want you to notice everything that comes to you as if it's part of the process. Then also notice spiritually, do you feel connected? Do you have a sense of the presence of your soul? Do you feel angels? Do you feel divas? So notice everything on all those levels. So let's begin. As you said, Lori, it's a great idea. I'm a firm believer in setting intentions. Let's set a goal for what you'd like to achieve in this meditation. Let me give you some examples. One goal might be to identify your life purpose. That's one of the things that we're going to explore in the Akashic record. So that could be a goal, is I'd like to have a greater sense of my purpose. Another possible goal might be, I'd like to identify my karma in this lifetime. What are the things that are available for me to clear? And perhaps even, what's my karma that I can't clear, but that I have to live with? So an intention could be around purpose, around karma. Another possible intention might be about identifying a particular past life that you want to clear. That could be something that you do with a practitioner, do some past life regression, do some energy medicine. And above all of those things, you can also just set a general intention. which could be to feel better, to heal, to learn about your channeling ability or your psychic ability. So take a moment now and just write down what your intention would be for the meditation. That's another way of just landing the sucker, is writing it down. letting your higher self speak to you, give you some inspiration for the meditation. And when you write it down, it's also a good way to go back and refer to it afterwards, to be able to say, well, here's what I asked for, and this is what I experienced.
There's so many.
So many.
you offered some really good options. I'm thinking, okay, how to use this properly.
Good. Well, and you can write them all down and use them at another time.
There you right? go, yeah.
Because remember, this is being taped, so you can download the tape, you can listen to the meditation over and over again, and each time have another intention.
Right. Perfect.
Great. Okay, so begin by closing your eyes and take a few deep breaths. And as you let the breath out, just relax into your chair or your seat. And allow yourself to be fully present with yourself. And allow yourself to be fully present with the process. And take a moment and just affirm to yourself that you can trust yourself. That you can trust that your soul is guiding you. And that you can trust that all of the information that comes to you and through you will be in your highest interest. And now connect yourself to your soul by just asking for that. Ask your soul or your higher self to come be with you and to guide you. And your soul is going to take you up to the eighth dimension. And so feel yourself going there now. You'll be protected and safe. Feel yourself lifting up. And you're going to your Akashic record. You're going to find yourself in a room. It looks kind of like a library, but imagine it in your own way. See yourself there or feel yourself there. Feel yourself arrive in the room. You'll notice there's a table there and a chair. Sit down, make yourself comfortable. As you look around at the room and the shelves, all of a sudden your eyes will fall upon the book that has your name on it. And reach up, pull that book off the shelf, place it on the table in front of you. Open the book now to the first page. On the first page, you'll see written the names of your parents and your date of birth. And just notice how you feel as you open to that page. Notice any physical sensations coming to you, any emotions. Notice your thoughts. Notice your experience spiritually. And now turn to the next page. And this is the page of your purpose. Keep in mind that the Akashic record is vibrational. Your purpose may be written in words. It could be a picture, could be a symbol, but it could also be an experience or a feeling. And so let the energy of the page come to you in whatever way it does. And again, notice what you're feeling physically. Notice your emotions. Notice your thoughts. Notice anything spiritually. And take a moment now and let the record speak to you and give you an experience of your purpose. As it's coming to you, give yourself permission to write down anything that you want to remember. Choose to recall everything you're experiencing and feeling, and trust that whatever is coming to you, that is part of the process, that has meaning, that it has value. And now we're going to turn to the next page, and the next page is your karma. This is a very interesting page. It may come to you in any way. Typically, what you'll notice is a list. And each item on the list will have a particular frequency. And that frequency will tell you about your karma. Within each frequency, there may be one or more lifetimes attached to it. And so you may get a sense of your past lives that relate to your karma. or you may just get a sense of the energy of it. And again, let that come to you on all levels, physically in your body, emotionally in your feelings, through your thoughts, through your spiritual connection. And take a moment now and just let yourself read the karma. Let yourself get the impressions. And again, trust whatever comes to you. If you choose to, write down what's coming to you, if you feel that you may forget. So open your eyes for a moment, write down what's coming, then you can close your eyes again. Take a moment now and remember your intention for this meditation. And just ask your Akashic Record to help you with that intention. Ask for permission that in your perfect timing, you'll be able to clear any karma that you become aware of. And so now I want you to close the record. Again, you'll see your name on the cover. Take a moment and just thank your higher self for bringing you there. Thank the Akashic Record for the information it shared. Choose to recall what you've experienced. Place the record back on the shelf. And then bring you and your higher self back down through the dimensions. Bring yourself back into your body. Take a moment and just ground yourself by feeling yourself sending roots into the earth. Bring all of yourself back on all levels. You're feeling relaxed and balanced. And as you're ready, open your eyes. And I encourage you, when you're ready, to write down whatever you've experienced.
It was lovely.
I'm glad that you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It's a great meditation. As I said, you can download this file of this interview and use it over and over again. It's a great learning tool for coming back to your purpose and seeing how your purpose evolves over time, and for understanding your karma, seeking to do healing with it. There's so much available in the Akashic Record. We could spend hours talking about it. I just wanted to give a little taste of it tonight.
Mm. Lovely. Wow. I'm feeling very peaceful. Thank you.
Great. You're very welcome.
What we can do now, this is kind of the part where you talk about, you know, what you're offering, and
great,
give everybody an idea of, you know, where they can reach you and how to connect with you. And
great, Lori, thank you. Well, I'd like to invite people to come to one of my seminars every month in Toronto and in Milton. I do a seminar called Spiritual Connection. It's designed for people to have their own personal healing, to learn about their channeling ability, practice their channeling. The next seminar in Milton is on March the 4th. It's all day from 9:30 to 4. And the next one in Toronto is this Friday, February 22nd, but there's another one in May, on May 16th. You can find out about the seminars on my website at janetamari.com. That's janetamari.com. I also do a 10-month program, Lori, which is a diploma in spiritual healing at the College of International Holistic Studies in Milton. And one of the things I'm excited about that's a new process is I do oneness blessings. After being in India at the Oneness University, I'm now a blessing giver. Mm. And on the last Tuesday of each month, the next one being on February 26th, Tuesday evening, from 6:45 to 8:15, I'm offering a oneness seminar and oneness blessings in my home in Toronto, and also by teleconference. Mm-hmm. And you can find out more by calling my business at 416-750-4082 and booking the teleconference or one of the seminars, or on the website. And I'm excited about giving the oneness blessings, because each time I give one, I receive one. So it's a great opportunity for me to have healing and to spread consciousness. And I've been getting great feedback from the blessings and from the energy medicine work that I do. People have great openings, physical healing in their body, emotional healing, improves their relationships. Things that people have always wanted to manifest start happening for them. So I'm really excited to offer the oneness blessing. And it's a great way for people to also have an opportunity to meet other people of like mind and to build their faith with other people that are building their faith and their channeling ability. Mm-hmm. And I also do one-on-one work. Lori, I do regression work. I do hypnotherapy. I do energy medicine, which is advanced hands-on healing. And I'm a doctor of natural medicine, so I work with people with remedies and vibrational healing. And I love to do what I do.
It certainly sounds like it. I'm really glad I got this opportunity to meet you, because I think
thank you.
There's a lot of great things that you're doing, and you're really, you know, you're not just focusing on some of your old things that, you know, you started 20 years ago. You're continuously building and growing, and you can tell. I mean, you can feel, you know, your vibration, which is, you know, really quite clear and quite lovely. So
thank you.
I'm very pleased to have had this opportunity, and I think there's more things that we're going to do.
That's great. Well, I really appreciate you inviting me to Intuitive Soul Radio. It's been a great opportunity to meet you as well, and I love having the opportunity to share what I do and talk to people. And I love what you're doing in terms of making it available for people to download and listen to over and over again. So I'm excited about what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So that's a show. And next week we have Bart Smith. So I look forward to connecting with each of you again. So thanks you for joining us on Intuitive Soul Radio. Have a great evening.